We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One question, do I feel lucky?
Trolling, trolling, bowling. Keep those hot takes flowing. Never really knowing which way the wind is blowing. He's trolling, trolling, bowling. Trolling, trolling, bowling.
Go ahead. Make my day.
It's time now for...
They call you Trolling Volin? You look like it.
Trolling Volin.
Who the hell is Ben Volin anyway?
I don't know what to tell you, buddy.
It's the Ben Volin Football Hour.
Turf derp, like I get it.
On WEEI.
News out of New England is that Matt Patricia is the final signature on anything that's going on.
Hell yeah.
The Ken and Curtis show up in New England talked about it. In that conversation, they later go on to say, Matt's just doing what Bill's telling him to do. And at the quarterback position, Bill's doing what Kraft is telling him what to do.
Oh.
Allegedly, that's what Ken or Curtis said. Once again, I don't know which one, but I want to thank them for their service in this entire conversation. I don't think Kraft's telling Bill anything.
Nah.
No way.
Are these guys reputable sources?
Ken and Curtis?
Yeah. Okay.
Run that, put that picture back up of their the video.
Boom.
Look at that.
Yeah, that's funny. Which one of those guys was Ken and Curtis?
Well, that's Matt and Bill Belichick.
So it took the penultimate Ben Volin football hour of the year, but you made national news and we got credit for it. Phenomenal.
You know what? I'm just happy to help. I'm the assist man, and you guys are the ones that slam it home. So I'm happy to give you your moment in the spotlight. You guys are connected. You're the insiders.
I mean, we are, and that was Pat McAfee. Colin Cowherd also reacted some of the audio. He didn't credit us, which is kind of annoying because I worked with his freaking producer before. But anyway, we got big national news, and I think that you were spot on with your reaction.
That I'm happy to let you have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Ken, you are the NFL insider.
Yeah,
man.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
You guys have the sources.
Once one point in time, maybe I was. Not now, it's Ben Volin. You've been on a heater. And I will say, you kind of agree with McAfee on one point. McAfee, in a separate conversation this week, said he thought the league did the Patriots a big favor by making Brady go to the West Coast and then come back to New England for Week 4. Although I don't think you totally feel like the league did Kraft a favor overall.
So I don't think, 2 points there. No, I don't think the league did the Patriots many favors. You go and look at their schedule and the league schedule, and they're just so indifferent to the Patriots. The Patriots are just an also-ran. It's like, you know, we're so used to the Patriots getting the best bye week and the favorable opening and closing stretches and all the national TV games, and the Patriots were just such afterthoughts for the NFL schedule this year. On the other point, I do agree with McAfee that I think they did the Patriots favors by scheduling that game in Week 4. I just don't think it's the favor that he thinks. I don't think the NFL was saying, well, let's make this game as difficult for Brady as possible, so let's send him out to the West Coast the week before, and you know, then he won't be as sharp as possible the next week. I just think they did the Patriots a favor. Curtis, you've said this, by scheduling the game early in the season. You had the executive from the NFL saying on NFL, Good Morning America or Good Morning Football last week, We didn't want their stories to be told yet, which is code for the Patriots might stink this year, and we want to make sure the game has some juice. So we're going to put the game in week 4 when the Patriots are still competitive, as opposed to week 11 when, I mean, heaven forbid, the Patriots are 3-6, and what an embarrassment that would be if all they're talking about on the broadcast is what's wrong with the Patriots. So I do agree with Pat that I think they did him a favor. I just don't think it has anything to do with sending Brady to the West Coast.
But actually, Wiggy's belief is that all these 1 o'clock games will really help New England. Players want to be in a routine of playing 1 o'clock games, so maybe that's also a help.
So I think Wiggy makes a good point for a change. You know, score one for Wiggy, 1 out of 10 times. I think Belichick loves the schedule. The fact that they only have three out of their 17 games are national TV. They can get into a rhythm every week with the 1 o'clock starts. Yep. They're going to fly under the radar. Week one, Jim, you know, Nance and Romo are going to be in Kansas City and Cleveland, and the Patriots are just some regional game against the Dolphins that no one cares about. I think Belichick loves all of that. They can fly under the radar. They can get into a routine. They don't have to worry about all these weird weeks now. So I agree with Wiggy. I think having a nondescript 1 o'clock schedule is going to work in their favor.
I know we're a ways away from week one of the NFL season, but that is the perfect watching weekend for myself. Thursday night, banner raising, Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. Got the Bucks and the Cowboys. Should be a high-scoring, fun game. Sunday at 1, red zone. Pats play at 4:25. So the first weekend, you get the full 3-hour red zone experience, and then you get Pats at 4:20. Phenomenal.
And then some good week, you know, night games too. The Rams are hosting the Bears in week 1. So you might get some Justin
Fields.
The
Bears are awful. They get way too many primetime games. I hate watching the Bears.
I definitely was surprised that they got more than the Patriots. They got 4 primetime games.
Wiggy thinks that's because they want the Patriots to be good again because the ratings were so bad last year that the Patriots should play at 1, and then they'll make a long playoff run and get good ratings with Cam Newton.
And I got. It's not a bad theory. I got one more conspiracy theory about how they're doing the Patriots a favor by scheduling Patriots Bucks in week 4. Have you looked at the schedule overall for that week? You've got Andy Reid going back to Philly. You've got Steelers Packers. There's like all these big time games in week 4. It's almost like the NFL's flooding the zone a little bit so that we don't just focus on Brady and Belichick all week long. There's all these other games that are going to take our attention, at least in other markets. They're not going to be talking about Brady Belichick in Kansas City. They're going to be talking about Andy Reid and his return to Philadelphia. So I think they flooded the zone for the Patriots.
They could, and I think there's potential that week 1 Thursday night NFL opener, Brady versus Cowboys, is a bigger national number than Bucks Patriots in week 4.
It's possible. I mean, you know, we have to assume Bucks Patriots is going to get 180 to 200 million viewers, right? that's the Wiggy figure.
Correct.
He was exaggerating. He still thinks it's going to be more than a Super Bowl.
No chance. I don't think it'll break the 35 million record.
No.
The record, 35 million?
I believe so. It's some Cowboys game that was 35 million is the record. So
some random Cowboys game?
I think, yeah. I mean, it might be a big Cowboys game, but all the big numbers always have to do with the Cowboys.
Right. It might have been a 4:30 Thanksgiving Cowboys game.
Right. So I don't think, you know, Patriots-Bucks is huge, but I told you guys this a few weeks ago. It's huge here, and it's huge for, you know, TV networks and maybe some hardcore fans, but a lot of the casuals, I don't think, really care about it. Like,
right.
outside of Boston, outside of New England, people, I think, are still kind of sick of the whole Brady Belichick thing.
Especially when, if the game were to be, the Bucks go up like 21-10 at halftime, I feel like that's a tune-out for most of the country as well. It's like, it doesn't have it's not a conference matchup, it's not, you know, we care. It's going to be the biggest game of my life, but it's, you know, I'm not everybody.
Now, weigh in, please, on the Tom Brady Sr. appearance on Brand X this week. Who put him up to it, if anybody? What's the fallout from it, if anything?
I think Brady's probably telling his dad to zip it again. It seems like
He never tells him to zip it.
Yes, he does. I know
he's never zipped it. When?
Specifically, during the Super Bowl, he had that interview with Karen Grigian that made national headlines, and then I called him later that week, and he said, "Yeah, I can't really talk to you. I've been told not to." So he's
specifically out there. He didn't need you,
right? So he said something, and then he was told to zip it. So I get the weak.
Thank
you,
sauce.
The defense. A guy who actually heard from the father that he was told to stop is not evidence
and
enough for you.
And then did he stop this week? Nope, he's back at it.
Well,
again.
Well, he's back at it. Yeah, and I was able to get him after the Super Bowl, but leading up to the Super Bowl, he was told, "Dad, will you please zip it?" Please, yeah, can you not create more controversy?
Oh, come on,
me?
Dad. Oh, I can't control my father. Oh, boy. Is he really? Oh, did you say that, Dad? Oh, gosh.
But he was kind of all over the place. He was saying, I forget what the direct quote was, but we're, you know, we're looking forward to beating the Patriots. And it's like, ooh, salacious. But then he goes and says, well, they're our second favorite team. And, you know, we've got one great team with the Bucs and another great team with the Patriots. So right. It was hard to figure out where exactly he was coming from there.
They expect to win handily. Win handily.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a bulletin board, right? That is, the Belichick is pissed about that.
It's already printed out. It's already been going around in the Devin McCourty group text, I'm sure. And, yeah, I'm sure Belichick has printed it out.
He sent it to Cam, but he dropped it.
Jesus. Well, speaking of Cam, when you look at the schedule, do you see a spot that Mac Jones comes in? Where is the window to replace Cam Newton, if any?
The late bye week hurts that a lot. And I think Bill is sticking with Cam unless there's an injury or just complete ineffectiveness. So we're talking later in the season, maybe the bye, because they're going to have
at the bye week, week 14 for the final four games.
Maybe
they put Mac in.
Yeah, because like
worst
case scenario, what are they at the bye? 6-7, you know,
and that's when they make the change. December,
yeah,
at Indy in the dome.
Belichick does not want to play a rookie quarterback. He's not going to put Mac Jones in until he's overly prepared, you know, almost too prepared for the game. I don't think Belichick wants a rookie quarterback anywhere near this team. He wants to win. I think he believes in Mac, but I think in his perfect scenario, Cam plays the whole season. That's why Cam is here. That's why they gave him all those incentives. So unless there's an injury, which is impossible to predict, and Cam is kind of banged up, I don't think we're going to see Mac much
but
this year.
I can't fathom that. Unless there's an injury. Well, what if Cam just is what he was last year?
Last year he was a 7-8 quarterback.
Okay, no.
He was.
He couldn't complete passes, Ben.
Okay, but he still won games despite that.
Okay, so if he plays the same level as last season, he will play through the bye week.
I think so. I mean, he didn't bench him last year, did he?
But I was told by Ken and Matt Light and Patriots Bobos everywhere that it was a throwaway. That's why they did that. That it was a COVID year. Doesn't really matter. Wham, wham, wham. We couldn't have training camp. That's what I was told.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I would say they, A, didn't believe in Stidham, and B, they wanted to do right by Cam Newton, I think. You
know? So what if Mac Jones is playing better, clearly, in preseason?
Well, that's pretty tough to gauge. Preseason means nothing. I mean, you're not scheming anything, and you're playing against guys who are going to get cut. So if he puts up good numbers in preseason games, that to me means nothing.
So this isn't a competition then?
Not really, to be honest. It's not not going to be an open competition right away.
They've handed this job to Cam Newton.
Pretty much, yeah. Belichick said it.
What do people around the NFL think about that?
I mean, I think people are skeptical, and they think that eventually obviously Mac Jones will at some point overtake Cam Newton, but everyone thought that Stidham was getting the call last year, and he never did, and Belichick stuck by Cam Newton, and I think he's going to stick by Cam again for the most part for this year. I don't think, you know, as soon as he throws a pick or an incompletion that he's going to be putting in Mac Jones. I think he's going to stick by Cam and let Cam ride it out.
Let's say Cam has struggles week one. Dolphins, that's a possibility, right? It's a home game. Fans are back, full capacity. Dolphins come in here and stick it on them. They're 0-1. Then I really believe that's a good spot. If you like Mac and what he's done in the preseason, you go to the Jets week two, rookie quarterback on rookie quarterback, you feel good in your defense shutting down Zach Wilson, and that's when you make the change.
Maybe. I don't think Belichick is going to be comfortable with a rookie, especially that early in the season. And now that I think about it, you asked me, is there a point in the schedule? When do they play that Thursday night game against the Falcons? Is that like week 8?
That's week 11.
Week 11? See, that's even that's kind of late. But I think realistically, if Cam puts up a stinker in week 11, you then have 10 days to get Mac Jones ready.
Ooh, that's a tough stretch, though. Then they got the Titans and the Bills.
Yeah, so.
I don't think so.
I think it factors into what I'm saying. I don't know if we're going to see a ton of Mac Jones this year. And I don't think Cam is going to just crap all over himself. I think Cam is going to be better this year. I do believe that they've put better pieces around him, that the extra year in the system will benefit him. I think Cam is going to have a bounce back year.
But what about his throwing motion? What about his mechanics? I mean, that is who he is.
It's not as much his mechanics as much as it is just his arm strength and the way he stares down the field. And look, with the two tight ends now, it should be, you know, easier throws for him and less reading of the defense, you would hope. And better weapons around him.
Did you think the issue last year was the fact that the receivers were too covered? or that the receivers couldn't catch the ball that was thrown at them.
Yeah, I don't think it was as much about the talent around him as it was just him not being comfortable in the offense. And that was a tough situation for him, especially when he got COVID. And I talked to a player who was on the team last year, and he said the whole team was just thrown off by that. You know, they couldn't practice. They were the rest of the league, the train keeps moving, and they went 2 or 3 weeks without practicing. Not just Cam, the whole team. They barely practiced.
Right, so he said they went past him when in reality there was nothing done to move past him. He made that excuse with the Brandon Marshall podcast.
Right, so I don't know if the rest of the team passed him as much as the rest of the team, just everyone fell behind. And I don't know if the Patriots did a good job of simplifying things and making things easier. I mean, that was a difficult situation for everyone last year. No one had ever coached during a pandemic and had so much,
I know. Brady went to a whole new team and all that. By the way,
serious knee injury for Mr. Brady.
Yeah, right again. Pat McAfee said, good job by me on that scoop.
You got it. You nailed it.
And let's be honest, you both failed. It was not Thanksgiving and there was no London game. So 0-4 on both of you on that. Just want to point that out.
I didn't say London game. I just said I was going to have some tea.
Okay.
I'm a big Bigelow tea guy.
Me too. Great stuff, Bob Soucy. If Cam Newton were not on the Patriots right now, what would he be doing?
I think he'd have a job. I think he'd be a backup for like the Chargers or the Houston Texans, you know, who signed a bunch of C-list quarterbacks this year.
That's a good call.
Tyrod Taylor. He could start in Houston. Well, him and Tyrod, that'd be an interesting battle. But yeah, Houston is a spot. And there are teams with really bad backup quarterback situations. He could potentially back up
Trevor
Lawrence.
Do you think he sticks it out if Mac Jones wins the job?
What, you think he's just going to quit on the team? And
yeah.
No, of course not. Of course, he's not going to quit. Yes, he will stick it out. Cam is a prideful guy. He's not just going to walk away like that.
That's interesting. We'll revisit that. I want to let the fans, the listeners, Volans
like
fans,
mid-season,
talk to him today.
You think he'll just quit? No.
Yeah. But
before the year, though, I could see that.
It looked like you quit last year when he was playing.
617-779-7937. Your last digs at Ben Volan, his last Saturday with us, at least here in the spring. Probably revisit this in the fall. Some fans like you, some don't, but maybe that's good for the show. But is Mac Jones going to get in this year when you see the schedule now? Where is the sweet spot for Mac to get in there? Let's go to John and Gardner first off. Hi, John.
Hello? Hello?
Hey, Johnny.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. A couple of brief things about football, and then a very important topic for you, Ken. Yep. Number one, I kind of missed some of that last thing, but I think a lot of it is Cam shoulder. I think I bored you guys before. I have had a bunch of shoulder injuries. My thing is I'm curious about how much there was a hangover, a leftover effect last year to his shoulder and therefore mechanics, and if that's going to be an improvement this year and therefore things will be much better. Second, Ben, I've been meaning to mention this all along. If he gets a fair chance, and I think Bill gives guys a fair chance, Terrez Hall is going to be a great three-down linebacker. Write that down, Ben, all right? You got that?
Got it. Marked.
And the important topic, Ken, I'm a little worried for you tonight. Do you need some muscle?
I do need muscle.
Need some protection tonight?
Correct. Well, I can handle
that. I'll be there if you can get me in.
I don't know about that. Curtis is portraying stats upper deck as being a tight squeeze.
Well, if I thought I could get in, I would take a nice ride in. But anyway, you guys have a good time and all that good stuff, all right?
All right, John, thanks for the call.
Yep.
Terrez Hall, but the serious point, I guess, is Cam's shoulder. What's anything there?
It's not going to get better. I mean, the guy's had two shoulder surgeries.
It's not
going to
get better.
Of course not. You can't just magically strengthen your arm.
You can strengthen an arm. I mean, that's not true.
That after two surgeries and the injuries he's had, it's not his
just
arm.
Just call Ninkovich. Got some of the good stuff.
He's not going to be throwing lasers out there. I think the bigger problem with Cam was just his staring down the field. And wasn't there one game where he like literally didn't throw a pass to the left side?
Yeah, but he was watching N'Keal Harry and like, what could you do but stare at him while he was covered the whole time?
Yeah. Chad Pennington had no arm, and he was still a great quarterback.
Might be a stretch.
When he went to the Dolphins in 2008, he got robbed. He should have been the MVP that year, not Peyton Manning. And Pennington had nothing left in his shoulder. And as long as you have the timing and the accuracy, it doesn't matter, but Cam doesn't have
that. I don't
think
Chad Pennington and great belong in the same sentence. Very
Chad Pennington, that is, I will go to the grave with that take. He got robbed of the MVP in 2008.
Okay. It's the first I've ever heard of it, but good point.
Bill in Framingham. Billy.
Hey, guys. I just want to say that Tom Brady Sr. was absolutely right. Tampa Bay is going to come in here and handily beat this team. Devin McCourty is mediocre at best. Kyle Duggar, he's a hard hitter, but he's not a speed burner. And when Scotty Miller, Antonio Brown, Evans and Godwin, and Gronk underneath, I'm predicting Brady throws 5 to 6 touchdown passes that game and gives Bill Belichick a nice wink on the way off the field. I hope Tampa Bay comes in here and crushes them.
Why do you root for that, Bill? Why do you want the Patriots to get crushed by Tom Brady?
Because I believe that Tom Brady should still be playing here, one of the greatest athletes in the history of the sport. But he got pushed out by this coke-hanging Bill Belichick. Awful, awful coach. And I want Tampa Bay to win the Super Bowl again and the Patriots not to. As long as that Belichick's around, I'll never root for this team again.
Wow.
That's it.
Okay. Bill, right. Coming strong.
Bad coach.
Great call, Bill. You're so wrong about this Pennington take. 2008, 19 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
He took
3,600 yards.
A 1-15 team, and they went 11-5 and won the division and made the playoffs.
Peyton
because
Manning,
of Chad Pennington.
4,000 yards, 27 touchdown passes. Not
it was one
close.
Of Peyton won his fifth. He got his fifth MVP that year. It was one of his worst years. And the Colts were a well-oiled machine at that point, and Pennington took over a 1-15 team, and he turned them into a playoff. Literally, just because of him, he fell in their laps in training camp when Favre went to the Jets. Pennington finished second in the MVP voting. It was ridiculous. It was a travesty. He should have been MVP that year.
He had 3 or 4 good years, decent years. Anyway.
He was good for the Jets. Winning quarterback. He was a good player, and he was a great guy. I love
okay, he finished second, tied with Michael Turner. Okay, it wasn't like he was this. Oh God.
He was efficient. I would say he was efficient.
I love Pennington. If the Patriots, if Mac Jones is Pennington, I'll be thrilled. That'll be a great pick.
Yeah, he's a good quarterback. Absolutely.
Right. I think, Curtis, you and Al butt heads a lot, but I'm going to put Al from Everett on, our buddy Al. Although, Al, well, maybe Al hates me. I don't know.
Yeah, he hates you.
Oh, sorry. Al, go ahead.
What's up, guys? How are you?
How are you?
Listen, Danny and Quincy, I love the guy. Took me out to vote years ago. We used to call back when one day. I'll never forget that. Thanks for the ride, Danny, but you gotta admit you're wrong, Danny. There's no way you can't know you're wrong. And all my friends out there that still trying to hang on till we should have got rid of Brady and we should have, you're out of your minds. And Bill that just called, excellent call. He's right. Everybody, almost everybody, was fooled by the brilliance of this man, Tom Brady. Bill Belichick is a nothing. He's subpar. An abysmal failure, actually, without Tom Brady. So that's a fact. Look it up. And forget about that. And to all you Patriot fans out there that want to go down there in Foxborough and you think you're going to boo Tom Brady, I got a great idea. Curtis, you want to help me out on this one? I want you to help me. I never done it. I sell sandwiches on State Street, but I'm going to close the shop that day. I want to print out a bunch of T-shirts, okay? A couple of thousand T-shirts. And anyone that wants to boo him, you're going to put this T-shirt on. It's going to say in big, big letters, I am a friggin' imbecile.
I have a couple of those shirts already made at my house.
Why would anyone boo anyone that night? It should be all cheers. Brady should be cheered, and the Patriots should
be
cheered.
You've been listening to too much NPR.
Really?
Who should be booed then? You're going to boo the home team?
Brady coming out of the tunnel should be booed.
Why?
He is in a Bucs jersey.
So who cares about the Bucs?
His father just went on a sports station here in town this week and said they're going to win by a zillion. And we're going to kick your ass.
So you're surprised that Tom Brady Sr. is rooting for his son?
That's coming directly from Junior. That is a conversation they have had.
Why do you try to find this? Like you
try to find that.
You really
obvious.
Do. Like you are otherwise an incredibly smart and
Let's
well-reasoned
just keep
man.
Pretending.
No, you
Let's
you
just
are.
Go back to the NBA ratings.
You're a brilliant guy.
Let's
but when it comes
trending.
To this, you're blinded by some weird rage.
Just because we have two callers who agree with you, the whole week was flooded with anti-Brady calls, and you were rattled. It
because people here are fans. They're diehards. They want to root for the Patriots. I don't hate them.
And so they're going to boo. Some of them will boo.
How could you have any problem with how Brady I mean, look, I understand the last year of Brady, he was kind of a diva, and he complained a lot.
Okay, stop right there. Then that answers it.
All right,
we hate people that are rude. Okay, go Belichick.
And since he left, he's been continually little jabs.
Saying he doesn't want to live in New England
won't catch
anymore.
Me down in the Northeast. How about the tweet this week? High school friends are going to meet my college friends.
I thought that was a funny tweet.
Oh, yeah. Backhanded slap that was.
You are the only person I have seen react to that tweet as some sort of shot.
Well, then you're not watching.
What are you talking about? I watch everything, Brady, 500 times.
Let's get the trending.
We're back to the Ben Volen Football Hour on EEI.
Ben Volen Football Hour, the final one of the spring. Ben Volen of the Boston Globe, of course. His Sunday notes are out. Check those out. Scoop from Ben here in just a moment.
Not the final show ever, just of the spring. We're coming back in the fall, right?
Correct.
We'll have some real football to talk about.
Yeah, and we'll check in periodically through the summer as things warrant. But, things will cool off a little bit now. There's rookie minicamp going on right now, right? Mac Jones is there.
One of the few times I'm glad the Patriots don't let us, have media access to this stuff because... I love my job, but rookie mini camp can be a bit of a drudge. Yeah.
Well, Ken and I each have like 10 weeks vacation, so we'll be off a lot of the summer.
Right. Big stars around here now. Text line at
national newsmakers here.
That's true. And program directors.
207 text. It's simple at this point. You're either a Brady fan or a Patriots fan. Brady gets booed when he plays here. You can bet he'll get booed when he returns. It's personal for many of us now. I think that's true. I think for many people it's just you're a Pats fan or you're a Brady fan. Curtis, you feel that way. You're a Brady fan more than a Patriots fan.
But I'm not rooting against the Patriots.
Yeah, you kind of are.
I'm not. I hope Mac Jones starts week one.
Trashed Bill for the last 6 months.
Right. I can't stand the fact that Bill Belichick got rid of Brady when Brady was still at the top of his game, won a Super Bowl, and we were stuck watching Cam Newton. Like, that is the definition of just malfeasance by the head coach of the organization. I mean, how can you be that ill-prepared when you knew this was coming? That will never make sense to me.
That was my thought at watching every playoff game for the Bucs and watching Brady go into New Orleans and win and Green Bay and win. It's like, why again did the Patriots get rid of this guy? It's not like they had a plan. Like, why is he not doing this for the Patriots?
Right.
It just seems so stupid in hindsight that they couldn't make it work.
He chose to leave. All right, we're not going to go on this road again.
He chose to leave because they made him choose to leave.
Right.
They made it very difficult for him.
Don't believe the Curtis spin. Now,
he covers the team. I think he knows what he's talking about.
Now, I do think Ben knows what he's talking about. He's got good scoops. Last year, I think we can all agree, was a bit of the Brady hangover year. I mean, how could it not be? Everything was about Brady. But you have been told something that really amplifies that point, Ben.
Yeah, that last year was also a Brady hangover year for the Patriots. And, you might say no duh, but, we weren't allowed in the locker room last year. We only got Zoom, so you really only got a fraction of the flavor of what was going on with the team. I've talked to a couple guys this offseason. All they did behind closed doors amongst each other last year was talk Tom Brady. Tom Brady was the conversation in the Patriots locker room, guys, and not in a bad way. Guys weren't angry at him at all. I think Brady still has a lot of fans, a lot of supporters and friends in the Patriots, and guys were just constantly talking about him and following him and comparing and talking about old stories and, why did Brady leave and his relationship with McDaniels and his relationship with Belichick. All they did last year was talk Tom Brady.
How did Bill feel about that?
From what the guys I talked to said, they don't know, which is classic Bill. Bill is a poker player through and through. You never know what he's thinking. He's not gonna join in on those conversations. Bill's not hanging out in the locker room like Sean Payton or some of those other coaches. So Bill, you never got a read on him. But the players who are still very pro Brady, all they did was talk Brady last year.
So the players within the organization were happy for Tom, following his career, and still like the guy.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so that goes against almost everything I've been told by people who hate Tom Brady. So,
well, I can't imagine Cam was thrilled with that. If Cam's sitting in there and all they're talking about is the last guy?
Probably true. But if there's one guy I think who could deal with that, it's Cam, because Cam's a superstar in his own right. He's a former league MVP. Like, Cam is enough of an alpha that he can handle it. A guy like Mac Jones, a younger quarterback, I don't know. We'll see. But
he speaks Mandarin.
and that's why he was the first-round pick. And apparently he could kick the soccer ball farther than anyone, too, at age four. And that's why he was,
But to that point, Curtis, we had Cam on every week on our show, on the Greg Hill Morning Show. And you were, Cam knew very well you were a big Brady honk. Said a couple times, called you Thomas Edward Patrick Brady III. I wonder if he was sensitive about that, and you could kind of hear that when Cam would answer questions about Brady with us.
No, that's a great point, Ken. I think that makes perfect sense now, because there were occasions where, obviously, during the interview, I would never be talking about Brady specifically.
Cam, why aren't you Tom Brady?
Right, but, there were occasions where Cam would call in, and we were just discussing Brady, which we talked almost every day about him, but it struck me as somewhat odd that he was that sort of sensitive, isn't the right word, aware of it, aware of the conversation that we were having. And then if you're in the locker room and every day David Andrews and, you know, Tooney are talking about that unbelievable, you know, three third downs in a row in Kansas City in the AFC Championship game a couple years ago, and you're Cam Newton trying to sort of ingratiate yourself into that locker room, it makes sense.
I get the feeling that Patriots players were planning their time around watching the Bucs games just like we were. I mean, there were so many weeks last year where the Bucs and Patriots played at completely different times. So I get the feeling there was probably a lot of talk like, hey, you know, let's watch the Bucs tonight.
And it's also true because I don't remember the amount of times, as you said, it was a weird media year with Zoom and not being in the locker room, but the Patriots players sure played dumb whenever they were asked about Tom.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, that's part of the media training. They get you from day one and they put the little Men in Black zapper up to your brain and they give you the training. So, but that's what I love hearing stuff like this because it humanizes the players, and the Patriots' whole shtick is to make them robotic and you never hear their true feelings. And they're just like us. They were watching Tom Brady and following him and kind of comparing the two teams, and they're still friends and they wanted to see him do well. So I think it's great to hear that these players can be human once in
but
a while.
But this also, to extrapolate this next point, is this must have impacted the morale on some level, where you're watching two guys, three if you include Antonio Brown, but really two, Brady and Gronk, staples in that locker room for over a decade together, Brady obviously for two decades, having that amount of fun, especially the final 4 weeks of the season, going to 11-5, and you're watching that, and you look at the guy that Bill brought for this year, who is, you know, not even in the same stratosphere as the guy that's playing, that has to impact you at some level. Like, what the hell were you thinking?
Absolutely. I think a lot of the Patriots players probably had the same thought I did. When they're watching Cam, you know, struggle to complete passes, and they're watching Brady, you know, leading his team to the Super Bowl, it's like, why is he not our quarterback? Why did we have to get rid of this guy?
Why were we saying that Stidham was better than Jimmy G?
Yeah.
Thomas Edward Patrick Brady III.
There he is.
He knew his whole name, too. I mean, so obviously they're talking a lot about it.
And I heard they were watching Megamind as well in the locker room.
Now, one other note.
Don't be bitter that he gave you the greatest nickname.
That is
ever.
A good nickname, yeah.
And hopefully we'll have Cam back. I think we're going to have Cam back on this year on Mondays.
Well, QB1, Cam Newton.
On Patriots, not
just had his birthday.
Oh, was it just his birthday?
Yeah, this past week. Turned 32 years old.
And he's been posting more this week. So the silence after the Mac Jones selection has gone away. He's back and
he sat
active.
Down with David Banner. Did a podcast with him. I watched a bit yesterday.
Who's David Banner?
I didn't know. I thought you guys would.
I have no idea.
Well, Robert Kraft was caught last night. I want you to react to that TMZ audio next. But real quick, before we, as we're up against the break here. This release from the NFLPA about vaccinated and mask wearing, do you think that's significant? I don't know if you saw this earlier. The NFLPA put out a statement, a memo to their players. Effective immediately, fully vaccinated staff and players will not be required to wear masks in club facilities.
Oh, that's from the NFL.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, what did I say?
You said the PA, which I was confused. No, it's great. Yeah. Masks are not needed anymore.
But those who are not fully vaccinated will continue to have to wear masks.
The NFL is doing everything they can to make life as difficult as possible for players who aren't vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, right. You still got to do the daily testing. You still have to wear a mask. You still might have to sit out for 5 days if you're a high risk close contact, or if you go on the COVID list, you still have to sit out for 2 weeks. If you get vaccinated, none of that. No masks, no daily testing, none of that. So, you know, all these guys like Cole Beasley coming out saying, I don't know if I want the vaccination. That's fine. You're going to miss games, and life is going to be way more difficult for you
and
than if you just get the stupid shot.
They have to prove it somehow, right, with a medical record or like?
I mean, that's pretty easy. Everyone gets the card, so I think you just flash the card.
I said this earlier. I think that there's a chance that I don't know anything about Patrick Mahomes. I'm just using him as like a player of his caliber. If they didn't want to get the vaccine for whatever reason, then if I were the Chiefs, I'd be like, yeah, he had the vaccine. Like, what are you going to do with? You're going to have Patrick Mahomes have to like wear a mask, get tested.
I think the NFL would love to make an example out of Patrick Mahomes if he decided not to get vaccinated, and say, "Oh, you're a high risk close contact. You got to miss this game against the Packers." That would be a tremendous message that the NFL is sending, not just to the players, but to the entire country that the vaccination is important.
First of all, if you need to hear what Mahomes does with a vaccine to tell you what you should do, then you should not be a parent. Secondly,
have you lived in this country?
I have
in Dover.
Yeah, that was, we have big walls and a moat. But the other thing is that you think that Fox or CBS wants to miss Patrick Mahomes on their broadcast to prove a point?
So they'll put a lot of pressure on him. Just get the stupid shot.
Yeah, well, they'll prove a great point.
They would never allow that to happen.
They would want their players vaccinated as a long-term goal. Yes, worth it.
What? if Patrick Mahomes misses a broadcast, that's a big deal. Sucks for CBS.
Short-term gain.
For who?
For everybody, because then all the star players are vaccinated and nobody misses another game.
If Patrick Mahomes were to get COVID-19, it would barely register. The guy's in perfect shape.
You don't know that.
You don't know that, and what if he sprained his ankle? He's missing a game anyway.
E-Rod had myocarditis and missed the whole year last year. But I want to talk about that. Next, Kraft, the audio. What is Week 4 going to look like? What will the Patriots do regarding Brady festivities at Gillette? Volan answers that next.
More off-season football talk. Now, this is the Ben Volan Football Hour on EEI.
Robert, I know you love Tom Brady. You guys always had a great relationship. He's returning to Foxborough. What are your thoughts on that?
We're excited to have him.
You're excited?
It's a great... He's a great guy, and he did so much for us. I love him.
And the tickets are going for, I heard, like, in the thousands. You know what I mean? And, like, to the fans considering on the fence about getting that ticket, what do you say to those people?
Well, we should have a fun night. But I'm excited for week one when we play Miami.
Mac Jones. What are your thoughts on Mac Jones?
I'm excited to have him, but I'm excited to have Cam Newton too.
Oh, Cam Newton.
Good to see him out there.
Who do you want to see starting? Cam?
I paid Bill a lot of money. Let him decide.
Good diplomatic answer by Kraft there at the end. I pay Bill a lot of money. Let's let him decide.
A lot of money, apparently.
But some believe, including you, Ben, that Kraft sort of nudged Bill to make that pick.
I think there was an unspoken agreement between the coach and the owner. If quarterback's there at 15, fine, we'll take the quarterback. I think yes, absolutely.
In regards to week four, though, before he pivoted to week one, excited to have Brady. Great guy. I love him. Will they be rolling out the red carpet for TB12 week 4, October 3rd?
I don't think you'll hear Jay-Z coming over the PA system when Brady comes out of the tunnel, but I would expect a tribute video. I do think it will be a thank you, Tom, kind of night. I mean, when is this ever going to happen again? What a perfect opportunity to do that. And yeah, I know Tom will come back one day and get his red jacket and all that stuff, and he'll have a halftime ceremony. But
Ken doesn't think he should go to the Patriots Hall of Fame. He said he's been a traitor.
They should name the Patriots Hall of Fame after him.
Tribute video, how long and when?
After the first quarter, you know, two minute tribute video.
Oh, see, that's dangerous. I don't think so.
You think pregame?
I think that gets booed. If it's pregame, it's all happy talk. If they're down 10-0 and
Ken,
they're playing a tribute video.
You are sounding like an idiot. If they show that, it's the Patriots highlights, you dimwit.
Yeah, but it's Brady, and he's out
so
there
whipping
your
showing,
team, and he's not here
anymore. They're going to be showing Tom Brady beating the Chiefs, beating the Steelers.
The Falcons.
Comeback of all time in the Super Bowl, beating the Legion of Boom.
Yeah, but then you're bringing back good memories of an ex. So it's like you're restless.
So
you know?
Patriots fans are watching the Patriots beat the Seahawks with Malcolm Butler's pick after Brady brings them back down the field, and they're going to be booing that.
So actually, sorry to cut you off there. Now that I think about it, they're going to show a tribute video, but not in a situation where Belichick has to watch it. They're going to do it while Belichick is like off in the locker room.
Right.
So it'll be pregame when the Patriots are in the locker room.
Good answer. If they did
it after the first quarter, Bill would have to watch it and he'd have to take it and eat it. So I don't think it'll be then.
Oh, no. I think they'll totally do that. And Bill will do the like that. The Linda massaging the ego, getting him to be a little more, seem more human in that moment. I think they will absolutely do that. And Belichick will applaud and they'll hug and it'll be all over.
Are you accusing the Patriots of staging reactions? That never happens with that team.
I love those stairs. I mean, those chairs. They're very perfectly sized for both Jonathan and Robert.
Curtis thought earlier maybe they would commission the statue, have it unveiled week 4 just to really go over the top and get Brady off his game. I kind of like that theory.
And make it like really ugly too, so he's thinking about
it. Right, like the guy that the drawing of the first meeting when they the awful depiction of what Brady looked like
in the courtroom. The court sketch, right. Yeah, absolutely.
That's a possibility. There's also the 20th anniversary of the 2001 team.
I think Brian's going to do it. He's going to put the statue together.
Brian?
Belichick.
Oh, Brian. There could be a halftime ceremony with Wiggy and the whole crew back from from that team.
You think they do it that night?
I would think. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's their one national night game.
Yep.
So at home, because I think the other ones are on the road. Yeah, that does make some sense. Make it, and maybe that's a way for them to shape the narrative a little bit so that it's not all about the Brady game. They can be like on the broadcast, look, here's Jermaine Wiggins and the 2001 Patriots,
yep,
and they're honoring these guys tonight.
And, yeah, it would be a more...
Flood the zone, you know, just get all the crap out there.
Give everybody bang for the buck, which, you know, the ticket prices have been a story all week.
But will they boo some players who finished their career elsewhere that
yes,
were on that
they're
going
to boo Wiggy because he finished in Carolina and then right, Minnesota, especially the Love Boat stuff.
I can't believe he was on the Love Boat. That's amazing.
Nope,
he says he was not confirmed.
Not international waters.
Only Smoot. All right, Ben, so the schedule's out. Everything's good to go. What should we be watching for here in the next couple weeks? Any major storylines that you could possibly see?
I mean, the major storylines are what's going to happen with the quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, yeah, and Deshaun Watson. And I don't think Rodgers is going anywhere, and I feel very confident in that. He just has no leverage. And I think the end game is he gets a raise for this year. And then the real key is, do they give him next year too? Because that's, I think, more than money, Rodgers wants security, like what Brady wanted. So if Rodgers only gets a pay raise for this year, then he's gone next year. I think the writing's on the wall. But I'm backing off my belief that Watson's not going anywhere. I think he's getting traded now.
Wow.
Yeah. You look at what they've done at quarterback, signing three guys this offseason, none of whom are any good, but it's enough to get you through the season. You go 2-14, you get the number one pick next year, and then you can find another franchise quarterback. So I think Casario is going to look to move Deshaun Watson this year. I like the Broncos. I like the Eagles, maybe the Dolphins. They will have suitors. They will get multiple first-round picks.
The Eagles, he be suspended? If he goes to the Dolphins, he could. They play him week one?
Well, you're right. He's looking at a suspension, and it's getting drawn out, and he needs... Watson needs everything to get settled because the NFL will not come out with a punishment until the legal process is complete. So the longer this thing drags out in court, the longer it's going to drag out for Watson, and the NFL is probably going to have to put him on the commissioner's exempt list, keep him away. So he really needs to settle, bite the bullet, rip off the Band-Aid, get the 6-game suspension, whatever it's going to be. Not to say whether he's guilty or innocent, but I think the NFL has proven that they will suspend guys just for putting the league in a bad spot. So he needs to just get this thing over with, and I do think Casario is going to trade him now.
And that owner in Miami, Ross, is a huge star guy, right? Like, I mean, he's obsessed with getting a superstar on that team.
Absolutely, and they want it to be Tua, but I think they quietly understand that Tua, you know, this is a big year for him. Maybe this is the year he takes a big jump like Josh Allen did, but I do think the owner would throw Tua overboard for Watson in a heartbeat, as long as... You know, Watson, what happens with him isn't too severe. And,
well, I'm just seeing Aaron Wilson's reporting in Houston that this is like negotiating with terrorists again. So I don't know.
Stop. Leave the man
what
alone.
What a way to end the Ben Volen
Leave
show.
The man alone.
All right, Ben, we appreciate you've been with us for several months here. It's been a good run. And
yeah.
We'll have you back for sure.
And you know, I'm glad you guys were able to get the scoops and show me that insider knowledge.
Yeah.
And hopefully this fall we'll get you guys some more credit.
Study everything Curtis does in the media
do
world.
Do the opposite.
You'll be a success. Fitzy and Mego. Two stars in their own right on the way from 1 until 3:15 up until Sox pregame. Nick LePan, great job. We'll see you next week.